Breakfast.
Welcome to the Triple M Darling Downs Breakfast Cafe.
And we do it over a little brekkie this morning. It's all of us, I think, having the same brekkie, that beautiful bagel, the maple bacon bagel. It is absolutely delicious. Thank you, Milk and Honey. And a great coffee there, too, as voted for by you as the best coffee in the region, Ann Street in Toowoomba. Joining me in the cafe this morning, Sarah Jane McDonald, Georgia Suda from McDonald Law. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning.
All right. On the menu today, a couple of things that I want to talk about. And one of them, I thought this is certainly going to get a few people talking. It is the government considering an opt-out change to organ donation. Now, it has forever and a day been an opt-in system. I'm a big proponent of it. My parents were both organ donors. In my mother, in fact, so passionate about it that when she passed away nearly 2 years or 2 years ago now, donated her body to science, to the university in Brisbane. So it is something that's certainly always been on the cards for me. It was on my driver's license from the day I got one. But it's always been the option to opt in. Now you're automatically an organ donor if this goes through and you have to opt out. What are your thoughts on that, Sarah Jane? Are we going down a sticky path with that? Because not everybody agrees with it.
No, I think there needs to definitely be a lot of consultation and making sure that people are aware of it. It's a huge change to go from opting in to opting out. And there are some difficulties as well in Australia because we're so multicultural. There's things like religious beliefs or language barriers and things like that that might present themselves to some of the people who are now citizens in Australia who may not know to opt out of those things that mean so much to them. So there are some difficulties I can see with that change and making sure that everyone's covered in the way that they need to be. People need to know about it is the big thing. They need to understand requirements to opt out if that's how they feel. A lot of people just go through life making sure that their loved ones know what they want with their body after and things like that. There's a lot of people who want to be organ donors and have told their family but aren't actually registered.
Yes.
So it comes down to the family's choice or your executor's choice or power of attorney's choice if the circumstances arise.
But having said that, George, I mean, this is one of those things that has caused a lot of angst over the years with people that have opted in under the current system, have told their family and friends, and yet when it comes time to it, family rebuke that and say, oh no, we're just not going to give the permission. Are there some legal implications to an opt-out system when it comes to the family making decisions then at the time of the death of the person?
Well, I think with an opt-out system, that should still exist in that if the family don't consent for religious beliefs or personal beliefs, they should still have that final option when the time comes to opt out, as it is at the moment. So you can be an organ donor, you can be on the registry, you can tell all your loved ones, and then at the last minute, your loved one can decide that they don't feel that that's appropriate anymore. So I think that that should still exist as a final, sort of catch-all. But I mean, personally, I'm a huge supporter of organ donation. I'm an organ donor myself. And I think that a lot of the information out there that says that one in three people in Australia say that they want to be an organ donor, but the numbers that are registered just don't reflect that. So obviously, people aren't aware that they actually need to be on the organ donor registry.
Yeah.
They need to let their loved ones know. And the other thing too is you have to pass away in pretty unique circumstances to even be an organ donor, in that, you know, you're in like a health facility, your brain's dead, but your body's still on life support, you know, to be able to allow, certain types of transplants to occur. So, it's fairly unique circumstances. And I personally have people that have been, that I know, loved ones that have been recipients of organ donations, and it's changed their lives,
unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, really young people too. So I think it is giving someone the gift of life. It is so important. And I think as long with the opt-out system that there was sufficient consultation processes, people were aware, it was easy to opt out, and that families still had the option, when the time came to say that that wasn't appropriate and not allow that to go through.
Yeah, and I think you make a very good point, because a lot of people say, I want to be an organ donor, but it's all just a bit much to go and actually register, or they don't realise how to do it or whatever. Is this going to be the same, Sarah, with an opt-out system, that people will be like, well, I'm one of the two in three that don't want to do it, but I've now got to go to the hassle, I've got to find out where to go and opt out, and I've got to do all of that, and I may not have got that done before something happens.
That's right. I mean, that's a risk, absolutely. It's a risk now that there's people there who want to be on the donor list and haven't been able to find the time to find the information and fill out the forms and do what's necessary. The risk goes both ways, no matter whether it's an opt-in or an opt-out.
I'm pretty sure you have to actually go into Medicare to be on the organ donor registry. And I mean, you know, the thought of that makes me think I can't do that. I'll have
absolutely.
To pack a lunch.
Oh, at least a lunch.
So, I mean, if it was like an app or like an online form or it was part of MyGov, or even if it was available in lots of different ways, you know, phone call, internet, you know, being able to go into a government, you know, services department, have multiple options to be able to opt out. You know, I think that would be required in an opt-out system.
But you also need to make sure that it's secure. You wouldn't want somebody who perhaps is looking for a heart calling up for all their friends and family, putting them on the organ donor list or trying to get a kidney or something. You know, it's worst case scenario, but
absolutely,
we've heard of worse stories.
We certainly have. Yes, that's right. Waking up in a bath in Mexico of ice. that's exactly right. Now, I chose that particular conversation because of your legal knowledge. And obviously, I chose this next one to talk about, because you had mentioned, both of you previously, about your love of animals, in particular the doggies, the ones you saved. people love that story that you told. And there is a lot of talk about the incredible amount of money that we are these days spending on pets at Christmas time. And finance experts are warning us not to get too carried away. Are we getting too over the top with spending on pets, or is the money justified because they are now part of our family, Sarah?
Well, in my opinion, they are part of our family. So there is no question about that side of things. And I think generally speaking, most people will spoil their pets all year round. I mean, pet birthday parties are a big thing now. I myself have attended many.
No,
I have
not
me.
I have attended first birthdays. I've seen birthday cakes for dogs being created, Georgia Suda, and those sorts of things. But
I
mean,
chose well, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. But definitely, I think it's a big change. Pets are a part of our family. My mom announced to our family that she's worried when she leaves the house about where the cats are going. So for Christmas, they're getting the high-tech collars with the GPS trackers. And
I was going to talk about those.
She's going to be able to look them up on an app no matter where she goes or what she does. So look, I'm not going to go that far with my cat and my dog, but I know there's people out there, people we know and love, and
I need to talk to your mum, find out where she's getting these collars from.
Oh, they're online. There's a link in that story I sent you. You can, and there's another one too that I was talking about the other day for the dog, where it's like an HD camera thing, and it's got a little spot where you put some treats and it spits the treat out at it. You can actually play the game with the dog while you're at work or whatever you're doing.
Well, we were just talking about this. Mum, please close your ears. I've only bought one Christmas present, and it is a HD camera for my mum so that she can see her dog while she's at work, and that's what she wanted. Not a present for herself.
Wow.
So we've identified that we've both got a crazy
Animal-loving
families.
Absolutely.
But I mean, on Christmas Day, our animals are such a big, you know, part of the festivities. They're there opening the presents. You know, they're really part of the family. My cats have little Santa costumes. Oh, I sound so sad.
Oh, no. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Usually the cats pull the Christmas tree down before Christmas. I'll have to send you a photo.
Please do, because I think everyone would like to see that. That will go straight up on Facebook. Because like I wrote to you, my dog will get like a thing of rawhide treats, or, you know, the pig's ears, or that's about it.
But and, I mean, if they're not getting that throughout the rest of the year, that is a treat.
Well, so it is.
Some of these pets are getting rawhide treats every day of the year,
GPS,
so they need to really up it again.
HD cameras and little costumes.
Not the food from the Christmas table. Can't be giving them the food.
No.
I'm strict on the, you know, not giving them human food.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it can make them sick.
You've got to be careful as well about some of those treats and things. You know, I've seen all of those horrible articles that talk about how they're created and what's put in them, and the food colouring is awful for dogs and things like
that.
You know, all those specific Christmas gifts. So we have to be careful, no matter, I guess, with the GPS tracker collar, we don't have to worry about those things.
Wow. Unbelievable. All right. Well, there you go. It looks like it is totally justified, the millions of dollars that we are going to spend this Christmas on our pets. It's always fun and informative to have you two in the cafe. Thank you both for coming in. Georgia Suda, Sarah Jane McDonald from McDonald Law. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And to you both too, and thanks for being a part of the cafe throughout 2018. Well, believe it or not, he is back from the dead. Yeah, you can't keep a good man down. Chopper is back. He rises again in Bogan Jesus, the Resurrection Tour. And he is bringing it to our part of the world. But he hits quite literally the Empire Theatre at the Armitage Centre on Friday, the 1st of February. There is a new Messiah in town, and he joins me for breakfast. Unky Chop, good morning.
Yes, g'day. How's it going?
Mate, I'm very well. Look, unbelievable, the resurrection of Chopper. You've got a bit of a message for religion because it's been around since Jesus was in nappies, as you say, but it's brought us nothing but misery.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm at the point now, you're watching someone trying to open a door, and you're sort of standing behind them going, jiggle it, try jiggling it, give me a bloody go. And then after a while, you just push them out of the way and have a crack yourself. Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing with religion here.
What are you going to be preaching when you're out and about throughout this tour?
Well, basically, I'm ripping through my version of the Ten Commandments. So, you know, technically people are like, oh, that makes you Bogan Moses, not Bogan Jesus. And I say, shut up and get in the boot of my car.
I'd imagine you've had a burning bush or two in your time.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. One was so bad it even spoke to me.
Now, you've been on telly a fair bit over the years, and I mean, I love your irreverent weather reports, doing the job of the hostie at the front of the plane. Are we likely to see Chopper back on our screens again?
I don't know. The world's changed a bit, hasn't it? I mean, maybe if Chopper's going to be on TV again, it's going to be after some version of Love Island or The Bachelor or something like that. So, yes. Yeah, it'll be me up to my eyeballs in mad skanks.
Oh, I tell you where I could see you going very well. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Oh, yeah, give it just a bit of camping with some idiots.
Oh, I think that would be absolutely fantastic. Have you been to the Garden City before, Chop?
Yes, but it's been too long. You know what I mean? It's been a very, very long time. So, I've got some catching up to do, and if everyone at the show behaves and is polite, maybe I'll rip through some of the old gear that I haven't done in Toowoomba yet.
It is Chopper's Bogan Jesus, the Resurrection Tour. It is going to be a fantastically funny night. The Empire Theatre, Armitage Centre, and you can get your tickets through the box office or empiretheatre.com.au. Unky Chop, it is great to have you back. And, mate, as one big fan, I'm glad that you are resurrected and coming to convert us all here in the Garden City.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to bloody get into it. Bloody rip off the lid and give it a sniff.
You cannot be serious!
Yes, I'm serious. And if you're flying business class with British Airways, you'd expect a bit of luxury, right? As well as being given a spacious seat, the airline's business class customers are offered delicious food and drink options, which the company claims are made using fresh ingredients and inspired by some of the world's top chefs. American radio host Dr. Michael Brown was recently on a British Airways flight travelling in business class and was shocked to discover that the airline's menu contained a very strange warning for diners. On the menu was a tasty-sounding dish called Home County's Venison Stew, which was to be served with rosemary dumplings, roasted chestnuts, and wilted kale. But it came with this disclaimer: there's a very small risk of bullet fragments that could be found in the meal. And apparently they aren't from the venison, but rather people firing at the chef for putting kale into an otherwise perfectly good meal. And getting ready for Christmas requires a lot of preparation, from decorating the tree with tinsel and baubles to making delicious food. But if you're still struggling to get into the festive mood, you might want to try turning your bum into a Christmas wreath. Yes, the latest online trend is the cheeky wreath. Just grab a pair of leggings and cut a hole in the backside, and then decorate around the edges with festive items like bells, tinsel or baubles. You can then break into a few bars of O Tannenbaum, but I'd avoid the mistletoe.
You cannot be serious!
Triple M.
Who's making millions?
Who's bombed out?
What's the latest?
Hit doing what?
Wow!
Who's up to it?
She's seeing him!
The Entertainment Report on the Darling Downs. Triple M.
Well, it's almost that time of year again when we get to watch famous people slum it in the jungle from the comfort of our air-conditioned homes. With just under a month to go, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here starts up again on Network 10, and they've released the first round of clues, and it looks like this could be the most controversial season yet. Possible contestants include Richard Reed, who refers to himself as a Hollywood gossip guru and had a stint on Celebrity Apprentice in 2015. Former Labor Senator Sam Dastyari or Tasmanian Jackie Lambie could make an appearance. And the one that's likely to stir the pot the most, there's talk that Warwick Capper may be making an appearance in this year's show. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here premieres Sunday, January 13, which at least will give us something else to watch other than the tennis. Van Halen frontman David Lee Roth said he'd been forced to watch his Van Halen earnings walk off into another man's pocket, and that his financial situation had only been resolved in the past 18 months. In a rare interview, the singer sat down with Vogue magazine and said he'd been butchered during the band's classic era, but he was bouncing back with a new venture called Laugh to Win that had been financed from Van Halen's most recent activities, which unfortunately appear to have fizzled out in 2015. Laugh to Win involves cutting-edge tattoo care products and outdoor activity equipment, among other potential avenues. And while reboots of classic TV shows seem to be the flavour of the month, Jennifer Aniston has revealed the reason that Friends is not having a reunion. Aniston, who played Rachel Green on the hit show, previously said she didn't want to take part in a reboot, but during an appearance on The Late Late Show with James Corden, she confirmed there would be no comeback, despite her now being open to the idea.
The girls always say we would love to do it again, and the boys are a little less excited about it for some reason. We've decided that we'll just do like a remake of The Golden Girls.
So it looks like we'll have to do with just the reruns of the original show, which Netflix apparently just paid $100 million for the rights to keep screening it in 2019. Aniston is currently starring in the Netflix film Dumplin' alongside Aussie Danielle McDonald. And that's the latest.